I'm greeted you with good morning, church. So I guess in the name of peer pressure, I should do the same, right? So good morning, church. Okay, let's get to business now. Well, this morning we're continuing our theme passage from the Gospel of John chapter 15. And we have this wonderful image that Jesus gives us of a grapevine and its branches, and it's a wonderful illustration of our relationship with Christ and what it means to abide in Him. Last Sunday, Pastor Sam took us through the opening section of chapter 15, and today we're moving to the next section immediately following this, that the next several verses here, and we're building on what we were talking about last time. And looking at this next section here, and if you recall, Pastor Sam also made a very important point in his talk, and Pastor Stan also shared about this too a while back. If you remember when he was talking about discipleship, and this is referring to verse 2 when Jesus says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away," or He takes up, right? He lifts up. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes or He cleans, that it may bear more fruit. There's the verse right there. And so the idea here is that a farmer is tending to his vine, and in such a way as to help it along, to lift it up, to help it bear more fruit, that the branches, which are already connected to the vine, can produce more fruit, and the farmer is helping it in this way, you know, by propping it up, by lifting it up, and tending to it in different ways like this, supporting the branches. And so in the same way, God is our great vine dresser, we are the branches, God supports us. God lifts us up and tends to us in his tender care and helping us to bear more fruit for Him. God raises us up, we might say, and he's lovingly working on us. We're a work in progress so that we can bear more spiritual fruit. And God's helping us do this. He doesn't just cut us off and just discard us because He sees, oh, you know, this branch isn't very productive, so I'm just going to get rid of it. No, he works with us. He works with us as we try to abide in the vine and we stay connected to the vine, and God is working with us in that way so that we can continue to stay connected to the vine and continue to bear fruit. And this is encouraging. This is all encouraging words as Jesus is describing here in this passage our relationship with Him and what it means to be connected to Him as the vine. And it's a positive picture. It's a positive picture of bearing much fruit. And it's important to point this out, to establish this from the beginning of this passage here, that this is a positive image that we have here that Jesus is explaining as He continues to explain this. But we also note that Jesus makes a switch here. He switches, as so often He does in His teachings, to a more negative scenario or picture here to provide a stark contrast to what He just is talking about. He's kind of providing the flip side of the picture here. So back in verse 4, He says, "You cannot bear fruit unless you abide in Me." And at the end of verse 5, He says, "But apart from Me, you can't do anything." If the branch is disconnected from the vine, it becomes useless because it's not receiving the nourishment it needs from the vine. And in verse 6, He says, "If anyone does not abide in Me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered up, thrown into the fire, and burned." There's a very real possibility here that we can become disconnected from Jesus if we allow ourselves to be. That it is possible. This is a scenario that's possible. that we as the branches can become separated from Jesus the vine, that we no longer abide in him, we no longer remain in him. And Jesus is bringing up this point here, and what happens when this becomes the case, illustrating this for us, that we not only stop producing fruit, but we as the branches, we dry up, we wither up and wither away, and we become really good for nothing except to be tossed out. It's a pretty fearful, kind of frightening image here that Jesus is bringing up as to what could happen. But at the same time, by making us aware of the possible future consequences of our actions right now, it's helping us. It's helping us to make better decisions in the present, now, because of possible future consequences. So it's really a sign of God's grace here. He's making us aware of the possible negative outcomes that could happen if we're not careful in regard to our spiritual lives and in regard to our relationships with Jesus. We can point to many different places throughout Jesus' ministry and his teachings in which he teaches in this way. Frequently, Jesus would talk about the coming judgment of God and how nobody will escape it. He talks about those who will enter the kingdom of God and those who will not, those who will be great in the kingdom and those who will be the least in the kingdom. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' But then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness.' There was no relationship there. You didn't abide in me as you should have," Jesus is saying. And one of the central teachings of Jesus, one that's really at the heart of his gospel message, really at the heart of his ministry, is the parable of the four soils. These soils reflect the condition of our hearts and how receptive or not we are to the gospel. And it's good to point out here that in this parable, there are three negative scenarios and just one positive one. The seeds of the gospel are sown on the first soil type, which is the path that everybody walks on. This soil is no good for planting and growing, so it doesn't take in the seeds. And the birds just come and eat them up, and no growth happens. The second soil type, rocky ground, the seed of the gospel is received with joy, but because there's no root, when the scorching heat of trouble, of persecution, hardship, all these things come, the plant quickly withers away because there's no roots established, no root system. And in the third soil, the thorny ground, the seed of the gospel, again, it's received, but the thorns of life, worries or trying to get rich or the desires of all kinds of other things that come in and choke the plant. And so once again, the plant does not yield any fruit. But then there's the fourth soil type. This is the good soil. It not only receives the seeds, the plants are also able to take root. And it's given room to grow and shoot down roots and grow very tall and produce a huge crop, produce much fruit, lots of it. And so naturally here Jesus is providing this teaching here, and by seeing all these possible negative outcomes, having these comparisons, all the possible outcomes are put in front of us, we want to move towards the positive one, towards that positive scenario as we get a better idea of the different possible conditions of our hearts. And let's not forget that whenever Jesus gives us these kinds of warnings in his teachings, and he paints a negative scenario, it's always counterbalanced. It's always balanced out with words of hope, words of encouragement. And this is what we have today in our passage from John 15. There are consequences for becoming disconnected from Christ the vine. There are, but so long as we try to remain in him, God will make sure we bear fruit. He's there. He'll tend to us as the fragile branches. He'll keep working on us, and he'll help us to stay connected to the vine. I'd like to talk about three things here that help us to stay connected, help us to remain in Christ. And we're asking some important questions here related to this. In my life, how can I make sure that I'm remaining in him? How can I, one of the branches, be sure that I'm not disconnecting myself from Jesus, who is the vine? How can I make sure I'm getting that nourishment that I need regularly from the vine, especially since there can be some serious consequences if I don't continue to abide in Jesus? And so three things here to help us in this, and they can be put this way, in staying connected to Christ: commandment, confession, and communion. So we'll take a look at these three here. The first one, commandment. Simply put, when we do what Jesus tells us to do, it helps us remain in him. It helps us to stay in close relationship with him. Actually, I don't want to spend too much time talking about this one, because next Sunday, when we move into the next section of this chapter, it focuses more on this, about Jesus' commandments. And he says more about this, about obeying his commands in order to abide in him. But nonetheless, when Jesus specifically tells us to abide in him, to remain in him, he is giving us a command right here just by telling us that. He's telling us, he's giving us something to obey here, and he's giving us a little glimpse into the consequences if we do not obey. My daughters are so cute, because every time they get a little present or a little gift, and they think it's special, or they think it's something you know, precious, they'll hide it away. They'll hide it away. You give them something, and then you'll never see it again, because they hide it away. They take it away for safekeeping. They don't want anyone to touch it. They don't want anybody to, they don't want to lose it. They want to know exactly where it is all the time, and they don't want anyone to get a hold of it, because it's precious, right? They need to protect it and you know, keep it for the long haul, and they want to make sure that they don't lose it. And it shows how special it is to them. It might be something very simple, very, very, you know, very small, nothing fancy. But to them, if it's precious, if it's special, then they'll put it away, they'll hide it away for safekeeping. Do we have the same approach to God's word? Do we hide God's word in our hearts because it's precious, because it's something that gives us life and something to treasure? So we hide it away. We don't want anything to happen to it. This is precious to me. I don't want anyone taking it away from me. And so we hide it away. So we need to ask ourselves this, you know, is this the word that gives me life? And if so, we want to keep it as if it's very precious, very precious. It's the word that keeps us on the right path. It keeps me right with God, keeps me good with God, and I don't want anything to happen to it. I want to hide it in my heart. I want to treasure it. I don't want anything to take this away from me. As it says in Psalm 119, I seek you, Lord. I seek you, Lord, with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When we abide in God's word, when God's word abides in us, then we abide in him, in God himself. And when we hide in our hearts what Jesus tells us to do, then it keeps us very close to him. The second point is confession. And this is something that John develops further in his letters that he writes. And here in the letter of 1 John, he says this. He says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And further, we're able to confess Christ through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us, the Holy Spirit who God has given to us. This is how we are able to continue in him and able to abide in him. It's through his Spirit. And John goes on to talk about this. He says, by this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he's given us of his Spirit. We have his Spirit to help us remain in him. We share in his Spirit. However, confession is often used in a negative sense. We use it more in a negative sense a lot of the time. And admitting one's guilt, admitting faults, making known, confessing a wrongdoing of some kind. And this is certainly one of its uses, but here, in this use, when we confess Christ, we're acknowledging who he is. He's the Son of God. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And we do so through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. When we confess Christ, we're making it known. We're making it known to others that God lives in me. God lives inside of me. My confession of Christ is coming from within me, from God's Spirit that dwells inside of me. But confession is not just about acknowledging Christ and who he is. It's also acknowledging who we are, who I am in Christ. In my relationship to Christ, confessing that. When we confess Christ, we're also saying, hey, this is who I am. This is who I am in him. I belong to him. I'm his. He's mine. He lives in me. He lives in my heart. I am who I am because of him. Because he loves me. I find my identity in him. And so I'm confessing this. I'm letting you know. When we returning to our image of bearing fruit, when a tree bears its fruit, we know without a doubt what kind of tree it is, right? Just by looking at its fruit. If a tree produces apples, well, it's an apple tree. If it produces oranges, it's an orange tree and not an apple tree. If it produces cherries, one of my favorites, we know it's a cherry tree, not some other fruit tree. But until the tree actually produces its fruit, it can be kind of hard to tell what kind of tree it is. Unless you're very knowledgeable in the different types of leaves that different fruit trees produce, or the way the tree grows, or maybe the flowers it produces first, and its growing patterns, all of these things. Unless you're very knowledgeable in these things, it's hard to tell sometimes what kind of fruit tree this is until the fruit is produced. So most of us are familiar with the fruit, and then seeing the fruit, we can then tell what kind of tree it is. Well, in the same way, when we bear spiritual fruit in our lives, the fruit in our lives are confessing, showing who we are, what kind of person we are, the kind of person I am. The fruit we bear in our lives acknowledge that we have a relationship with Christ. God is real in my life. I'm following Him. The spiritual fruit shows who we are. It shows who we belong to. It defines us as a Jesus follower. I'm a child of God. And this brings glory to God. And it's shown through the fruit that we show in our lives. Confessing Christ is not just a one-time thing that we do when we accept Jesus into our lives in the beginning. It's not just a one-time thing. Confessing Christ is an everyday lifestyle. It's a daily lifestyle. If we're abiding in Him, the way we live out our lives each day is our daily confession of Christ in our lives. We're acknowledging Him openly in what we say and what we do. And this confession becomes apparent, especially in the fruit, in the specific fruit that we are, that's growing, God's growing in our lives and that we bear in our lives. These spiritual qualities, as Jesus says in verse 8, "It is by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." In bearing fruit, we are showing ourselves, we're confessing that we belong to Jesus, that we are His disciples. Finally, our third point, communion. And it's fitting that today is Holy Communion Sunday. It's a practice, it's a confession. It's a confession that we do. It's an outward expression of Christ inwardly abiding in us. We're acknowledging Christ's atoning death on the cross. This is what brings us back into communion with God, back into right relationship with Him, to be able to enter into a spiritual union with God, the Holy God of heaven. And this means having an everyday communion with Jesus, sharing in close fellowship with Him constantly. And this is really at the heart of it all. This really is. And look at what Jesus says here in our text today in verse 7. He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Abiding in Christ means keeping God's word, His commandments. We live this out as a confession, but it also involves prayer. Plain and simple prayer, talking with God, being in communion with Him in this way, through prayer each day. To ask God for something means you're talking with Him. Means that you're in prayer with Him, you're in conversation with Him. And Jesus is saying that our prayer lives with God is a sure indicator of how close we are to Him, how connected we really are to Him, that our prayer life with God really can take us deep into the heart of God. The health of our prayer life is so vital to being connected to the vine. We can have such a close relationship with God through prayer. We can become so close with Him that it can develop to the point in which Jesus says, "Ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. It will be given to you because you're so tight with God." When we're in close communion with Him, keeping His word in our hearts, we begin to understand His will. We start to get a sense of what God's will is, where His heart is, what pleases Him, what's acceptable to Him, what brings Him glory, what brings Him honor. The things He likes, things He doesn't like. What is His will? And we begin to develop this sense as we develop our prayer lives. And so anything we ask for is done for us in accordance to His will. not ours. And John talks about this more. He qualifies this more in his letter, and he says in 5:14, he says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him." And so how's your prayer life? Are you talking with the Lord every day? Or when was the last time he's heard from you? This is vital to staying connected to the vine, abiding in him. Draw closer to him in prayer. He hears us. And so commandment, confession, and communion, these help us to remain in him, to stay connected to the vine, helps us not to get separated from him. Are you hiding God's word in your heart? Are you treasuring it up in your heart as something precious, something to treasure? Are you living out your life in daily confession of Christ through what you say, what you do? Is it a daily confession of who you are in Christ, that God is real in my life? And showing this. And are you experiencing close communion with him? Especially in prayer. These things help keep us living in Christ. And in Christ there's peace, there's security, there's comfort, there's rest, there's healing in Christ. It's a safe place. It's a safe place to be where we can dwell, where we leave no room for anything else except for the love of God. To abide in Christ is not just a future hope. It's not just a future hope that we have of looking forward to our eternal home with God. Yes, that's definitely included. But it's also a gift that we have right now, and we can unwrap this gift now. And we can enjoy it now in this life. And in the craziness of this world, in the craziness of our lives, in the struggles that we're going through, we can live in him. We can abide in him each day, fully connected to the vine that provides all we need. It provides the nourishment we need to stay healthy in the faith, to stay healthy in God, bearing much fruit in the process, and of course, bringing glory to God. As you remain in him, he will faithfully remain in you. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for being the vine that we can stay connected to, that we can connect ourselves to receive what we need, what we so desperately need in our lives, the nourishment we need from you. You are the bread of life, you also tell us. And we hang on to your words and to the nourishment spiritually that we need in our lives, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you that you support us, you lift us up, you help us along so that we can stay connected to you when it's a struggle, when we're not being very productive in bearing fruit for you, Lord. You in your mercy, in your grace, you help us along. You just gently care for us so that we can continue to be connected to you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for how you're so gracious to us in this way. Father, I pray that we can continue to stay connected to you in all the ways that you teach us. To obey your word, to confess you in our lives and to enjoy close communion with you, to talk with you. Lord, if we haven't been talking to you that much recently, may today be a fresh start. Help us, Lord, and to come close to you, draw close to you, because you are right there for us and you want us to be so close to you. Father, we give you thanks. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we respond in song, would you join with us? Would you stand?